It's time for Firearm Friday, a podcast dedicated to bringing together the firearm industry and community. Now here's your host, from the great state of Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Chris Dover.
It is time for Firearm Friday. I am Chris Dover, and this week we bring back Cody from Walther Arms, and we're going to be talking about the PPQ steel frame, the PPK, and the entire Walther line. But before we do that, I need to mention Gear Websites. Gear Websites is a great place to pick up some very cool firearm and Second Amendment related items. In fact, their Firearm Inventor playing card decks are hot off the press and in the store over there now. So be sure to check out everything that they have to offer over there on GearWebsites.com. All right, crew, help me welcome back Cody from Walther. What's happening, Cody?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just got to be back on here and back in the States, too. Just got back from Iowa. So.
Right. And I'm guessing that was a heck of an experience, right?
It was pretty crazy getting to go over to Germany, where you know our headquarters are at, and see our presence at a show of that magnitude. It's a little different atmosphere over there than you know here in the U.S. say like SHOT Show or something like that. So it's pretty incredible to see the firearm presence over you know in Europe too. It's pretty impressive.
Well, with the differing laws and regulations and other things, probably the products there too, things that you wouldn't expect to see, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's a different culture there, you know, over there. It's because some of the limitations and things are real buy once, cry once type, so you see a lot of high-end rifles and shotguns and pistols. You know, they'd rather just spend the money up front, since it's, you know, usually like in Germany, you can only have two pistols. So they don't really, you know, waste their money on a $300, you know, polymer frame. They'd rather, you know, pony up and spend $1,500 for a steel frame gun. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's that 4-day work week and higher minimum wages or something over there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy to see like our, you know, Walther's presence over there too is just completely different, since that's, you know, our home turf. You know, our booth was huge. You know, there's at our own cafe and bar.
In our wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I took a little video of it, and it took me about almost 5 minutes just to take a video through the booth. I mean, it's enormous to see our presence over there. It's pretty cool.
Right. Now, you know, getting back to what you guys are doing here in that steel frame, how's things going with it so far?
It has been going great on that gun. We tons of demand, probably some of the most demand that I've seen outside like PPK, you know, people asking for PPK. The steel frame has just outperformed everything we thought. I mean, we knew it was going to be a great product. We knew, you know, it would have its niche and things, but it's really grown outside of what we thought. You know, it's a competitive gun, high performance, you know, kind of high end gun, but man, just the amount of demand, dealers are calling us, wanting them. They said they're getting tons of people asking for them, which is great to hear. We've been seeing them sell for over MSRP through Gun Broker and auction sites.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, right before I left for Iowa, there was one that sold on Gun Broker for $2,700.
Good Lord. Well,
I mean, yeah, so, I mean, people are just wanting them. And there's reason for it. You know, everybody that puts their hands on it realizes how great a gun it is and how much performance you get out of it and how innovative it really is.
Right. Now, as far as the demand versus the supply goes, are you guys on par? Are you able to keep up?
It's hard to get right now. I mean, it'll level out after a while, but there's a lot of buzz, especially with the new product. I mean,
sure.
We've been shipping them like crazy, but it is a product that, you know, needs to be treated like that too. You know,
sure.
Flood it too quick with them. So
well, that are, you can only make them so fast, right?
Yeah, and so and that's the thing about this gun is it's so much, you know, time put into it because we wanted it to be right. And you know, I think one of our machines can make like 7 frames a day, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a little while to get them cranked out. It's because we we chose to put the original quality like we used to do into it. I mean, the frame is machined from a solid piece of steel, so it's not cast, not a molding or anything like that. And you see this big hunk of metal sitting there, and I think like 90% of that is machined away to make the frame. So just lots of time that goes into it, but it's we're noticing people appreciate that stuff. I think the market hasn't had anything like that in a very long time.
Right. Now, as far as the differences between the steel frame and the Q5 match, what are, other than a steel frame, what other differences are there?
No, it's basically it. I mean, and that's why we wanted to expand the line. So you have the Q5 match polymer frame and the Q5 match steel frame. And it's same slide cut, same design, all of that. So really the biggest difference is just, you know, in the frame itself and the weight. Right. So it's going to add a lot of weight to it to help reduce a lot of the recoil impulse. So that's really the big difference. So and that's the cool thing behind that gun is you know, if you're going and shooting at the range and you want that cool look and everything, we have a wide variety that you can pick from a lot of different price points. So, you know, if you don't want to pony up the $1,500 to $1,600 for a steel frame, you can still get all the benefits, the, you know, extended slide release and all the slide cuts, optics ready, the great trigger, you can put the magwell on it, the base pads, everything that the steel frame has for, you know, $750-$800
right.
for the polymer frame. So,
yeah,
you know, we give it a little bit of versatility there. So.
Right. Now, there looks to be the pictures I've seen. I haven't. Well, and I say that I got to fondle one at SHOT Show,
but at that
time I did not pay any attention to it. But in pictures later, I noticed that the beaver tail is a little bit different in that area on the steel frame too, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, we extended the beaver tail, and then we extended the dust cover, the Picatinny rail on the front, all the way out to the front of the gun. And then I said we added a nice beaver tail onto it, and it kind of gave it, like I said, a little bit more performance and weight balance and things like that. So it comes out of the holster really well because it has such a deep, you know, cut back there and room. And then really the recoil impulse with that beaver tail is great. And I was kind of one of the ones that didn't, you know, really want that at the office to begin with, because I was like, it doesn't have a hammer. And usually, you know, a beaver tail is there to kind of cure you from the hammer bite or something like that.
Right.
But, you know, once we started playing around with it, I was like, all right, man, I'm completely wrong, ate my words. It's a really great feature, and it really helps with the shootability of the gun when you start adding that speed and performance.
And that's a lot of why you see the CZs in the competitive world, too, because of that deeper cut and that beaver tail. So emulating that, I think, is great for those that, you know, kind of getting into that competition, that match market.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to bring. And CZ, you know, they do very well in, you know, USPSA production division, because they're really the only steel frame gun that you can run that style. You know, the CZ Tank Foglio, they're all similar to that style, but you have to deal with a double action, single action,
right?
Coming out of the holster. So when you're drawing a first shot, you got to pull through a double action, which usually isn't too fun, especially when you start getting at distance and wanting to add that speed to it.
Sure.
But, you know, with the Q5 match coming to the table, we still give people the added benefits of that heavy frame and light recoil, but you get a single action only gun. You know, you get that strike and fire, that great, you know, break and short reset that we offer. So that kind of gives you a little bit more performance. And, you know, when you start shooting these matches, you know, every tenth of a second matters. So
right now, you know, talking about the trigger, you guys have some parts that are coming out, right? Some upgrade stuff for the PPQs.
Yeah, we do. So we have a whole performance line of accessories coming out. So like extended magazine releases, magwells, base pads, trigger spring kits, recoil assemblies, all kinds of stuff. But the big one that really kind of started the show at EWA, we had all kinds of people coming over, was our new expert trigger, we're calling it. Now we're still trying to figure out, you know, if we can get it over here to the U.S. and get it sold here in the U.S. because it is a target shooting trigger. So it's very, very light. It's not drop safe. And so that's where we're kind of running into issues here for the U.S. market. But we're trying to find those workarounds to get it over here into the States. But it was it's really a star. I mean, you've never seen anything like this done with striker-fired triggers before. It's a modular trigger system, so it's completely adjustable for pre-travel, over-travel, sear engagement, and weight. and you can change out the trigger shoes without taking the trigger out. So you can swap between a flat face or a curved, and then you can adjust the trigger pull length with a small, medium, or large trigger shoe.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's really interesting. Really cool. Crazy light. I mean, we had one set up there at 3 pounds with very, very minimal take up. And I mean, we had people coming up and saying that it was better than any 1911 or 2011 trigger that they felt.
Right. Now, you see a lot of aftermarket triggers, obviously, not for the PPQ, but in other brands. What's the deal with Walther's, because they're made out of the country, and trying to get them in is the issue there, and the other ones were made here in the States?
It's really because it's made from a manufacturer like us.
Okay.
And a lot of them, if you look at like Apex and stuff like that, they're still kind of drop safe. So they still have like a trigger blade safety and things like that. And this trigger does not. So it basically removes the trigger blade safety on the trigger. Gotcha. You still have your disconnect and firing pin block and things like that, but you don't have that, you know, that safety that's on the trigger itself.
So. Gotcha. Yeah, and I'm familiar with that. I mean, I've shot some monstrous rifles in competition before. You don't get your finger nowhere near that thing until you're ready to go. Because it's literal ounces, you know.
Exactly.
And it's gone. You've sent it at that point. So
those get crazy.
I just can't. You know, you guys had sent me that PPQ to play with, and I've enjoyed the heck out of that. And not having, I didn't really have any bias because I'd never played around with a Polly Walther before. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I mean, I don't see how. I get you with what you're talking about with that trigger upgrade and all this other stuff. I don't see how you can get any better, hardly.
Yeah. We get that a lot, you know, and how you can. But you can always make things better, and that's how we don't ever want to settle. That's not who we are.
I got it, but at some point you're way too nitpicky is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm like, come out with something unique, something. You know, why are you nitpicking this? There's nothing wrong with this. We don't need an upgraded trigger.
Yeah, well, you know, in the U.S., triggers are graded against the 1911 trigger, right?
Right.
Everyone, that is the epitome of what pistol triggers need to be. And no one has been able to do that on a striker-fired trigger till now with us, so... we're excited to get that out there and kind of change the perception of striker-fired guns.
Well, it's a whole different mechanical concept, though, when you're talking about that, too. So it does boggle the mind. It's going to be really, really interesting to see that. Now, with y'all sell magazine extensions already, right?
Yes, so we've got some available. With the launch of the steel frame, we did some new aluminum and steel plus two extensions that kind of team up with our mag wells, so they look real good. So you can do, you know, the aluminum ones that are going to be more legal for, you know, USPSA, and if you want to get into limited or just for tactical ease, you can get the steel ones that weigh quite a bit that drop out of that mag pretty dang fast. So
nice, very nice. And then the spring, you're talking about the spring kits, I think, is that part of the package with the trigger, or is that something separate?
Yeah, the Expert trigger will come as a package, we believe. So it'll come with a couple different trigger shoes, curved and flat, and then the fire control assembly, the trigger bar, and the trigger shoe. And then it'll come with the different springs to adjust the weight. But we're going to sell those spring kits also, because they fit into polymer or steel frame, so you can adjust your standard PPQ if you want to lighten it or make it a little heavier for duty use or something like that.
Okay, gotcha. Now, one thing when we had you on quite a few months back, when we had you on live, we never got to it. I think we talked post-chat about it a little bit, was the P-22.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dogging on the one I've got a little bit. I've got an older model. And you said that the newer models, there's been some changes with those.
Yeah.
Want to kind of go through that and explain those for anybody out there who kind of might be in the same boat as I am?
Yeah, definitely. So the new... you know, the older ones, that gun kind of revolutionized a lot of stuff because it was the first, you know, polymer frame tactical style 22. Had a really good price to come out and set a whole lot of records. But, you know, when we went through that whole, like, crazy ammo situation for 22s, and they just ramped production up 22 ammo like crazy, you started to see a lot of inconsistencies. And the gun was made for high-velocity ammo,
mm-hmm.
Just because you know, cycling a small bolt on a auto rifle is a lot easier than cycling a slide, an entire slide on a pistol.
Right.
So it needed that extra velocity. But with the new P22 version that that we've got, we did some different chamber designs on that and a couple little upgrades on the inside to help it actually function not only with high velocity ammo but standard velocity ammo too. So it's been doing great so far. Me and Brett here, we're part of the kind of trial shooting here, and I know Brett probably shot about 10,000 rounds through one, so they hold up pretty good now. We're very excited for that.
Now, looking at pictures, I've never laid hands on one of the new P-22s, but it doesn't look like mine. I've got the P-22 Target. But even looking at the new P-22 Target, it looks a little bit different. Did the design change a little bit on that?
A little bit. With the original one's kind of modeled after the P-99 series, where it had the smoother grip and kind of large, you know, kind of dots on it for the grip. And the new one we kind of refaced to match into the more of the PPQ, the new styling for Walther, of that cross-directional grip texture and the front and rear slide serrations and things like that. So
okay. Yeah, I noticed it. I don't know, I looked at it after we had talked about it. I went over there and looked, and I'm like, that doesn't look like my.
Yeah. It
doesn't look like mine anymore.
Your little skin update there.
Yeah, like they changed it. And I didn't know if that was just an aesthetic thing or if that had something to do with, you know, making it work. So the messing with the chamber on the newer models, I don't know. I mean, to put it in layman's terms, maybe, or something like that. It does that increase the pressure a little bit or something to assist with kind of the power for it to cycle?
Yeah, and that's more of an engineering thing. It's probably above my knowledge level, but yeah, so whatever they did, it's working for standard velocity ammo quite a bit more.
Yeah, give it a little more oomph. Now, since having this PPQ I've got, I've had several people come along. Everybody that I've talked to that owns them absolutely loves them. But I've had several people come along talking about the PPQ 22. So what are some of the differences between that PPQ, because I'm curious, the PPQ 22 and then just the PPQ?
Yeah, so...
Other than chamber, of course.
Yeah. So it's more kind of based around Scott's. A fixed barrel on the inside, so it's a little different. But what we want to do is give you the exact same controls and feel and everything as our center fire line. So it'll fit in your holsters, so inside the waistband or outside the waistband holsters. Magazine release is the same, slide release is the same. The take up and break on the trigger is the same, basically. So you get a lot of added benefits for just range practice, and that's what I use it as. I have a 5-inch model that, you know, when I go to the range to practice for competitions and stuff, and I'm practicing draw to first shot or transitions and things like that to kind of hone in on a specific skill and try to increase my speed there, I use that because ammo is much cheaper, right?
Yes.
And it, like I said, it fits in your holsters, has that same feel and everything, so it's a good thing. And if you have a PPQ, it's a great one to own to add for your practice. And two, they have the, you know, all our 22s come with the threaded barrels, so you can just add the little adapter to it for your can, and run them suppressed if you want to.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. Now, just curious, the PPQ 22, interchangeable back straps on it as well?
Yes, on that one you can.
Okay. Because what I was thinking, you go with that smaller back strap, and it's really a small grip. I don't have very big hands at all. And that smaller strap is a little bit too small for me.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
And I was thinking, you know, that would be cool, I mean, for, you know, Junior, let's say, to have the same pistol as Dad, you know, basically.
Yep, exactly.
Like, that's kind of a cool concept, too.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about it, is that especially when you're starting off shooting, is if you look at the entire PPQ line, and that's all it's going to be, it's a platform, and... So we actually start off, you know, our sister company is Umarex, and they make the CO2 Airsoft blowback PPQ models that are the same thing, feel exactly the same, fit in your holsters, all that, so you can do dry fire practice at the house, or if you're, you know, young and you're just starting into pistols, want some practice, you can start off on that. You can move into a rim fire a little later, then you can move into a 9mm or 45 or something like that later, and it's the same feel and platform. You're not having to change.
Right. Yeah, the people I've heard talk about those, there's been a handful, and they all seem to like that. I think the majority of them, if I'm not mistaken, they have them for their wives, honestly.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, my wife really likes that PPQ-22.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a good one to have in the safe.
Now, I don't know if we talked about it, again, back when we were live or not, but I know that y'all had some type of a recall on one of the models.
Yeah, so we did the PPS M2, where we had...
it was a voluntary recall, of course.
Yeah, voluntary. Yeah. It was something that we identified. We never really had an issue pop up, but we just found something that we thought we should just go ahead and address. And we usually try to stay ahead of situations like that just for the sake of, you know, being a little cautious there. So, you know, we make high-quality firearms, and we want to make sure we keep that up. And, you know, it went good. We've seen they're about all, you know, it's slowed down a lot on guns coming in. We're getting them in. I mean, most people are getting their gun back within a week or week and a half. So they're coming in and getting out pretty quick.
Good. Very nice. Now with what else? Which other ones here? Oh, one of the things I was going to ask, because there were several questions on the different 22s and stuff. I thought, well, we have him back on. We didn't really get into that before. But with the Colt Rimfire stuff,
mm-hmm.
That you guys do, those are beautiful pistols. But what is there a story behind that?
No, I mean, so our plant in Armsburg makes some of the, you know, awesome 22s, Rimfire stuff out there, and so our P22s made, PPQ22s made. We also, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, we made all the 22s Rimfire kind of replicas for Uzi and Colt, the M4s and H&K 416 22s, still make them for HK today. So, you know, there's a lot of those different options out there that we just did licensing, and we produced them because we're, you know, one of the main people to make Rimfires. So,
mm-hmm. Now, do you know people are buying those for a specific reason? Do you have people shooting competition with those, or just more of a plinking type thing?
More plinking, recreational stuff. You know, people that like the 1911 for the Colt real gun stuff,
mm-hmm.
That like that platform, you know, it gives them a really cool, affordable option that they can have a 1911 and go shoot and not have to pay for the 45 caliber round.
Right. Now, do you know if there's any ammo pickiness or anything with those Colt 1911s? And the reason I ask is that we owned a couple through the 4-H club here. They were SIG. The little SIG 1911s, and man, you had to run like super hot ammo through those, and probably same thing like you were talking about with the P22 earlier, just having to do with slide mass and that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But are you hearing? Have you heard of any issues with the Colt, or is it same or similar chamber design with the P22 to kind of eliminate that?
Yeah, it's going to be like the same typical design. That's PPQ22 on the inside, so we're not in.
Very cool.
We very rarely get those things sent in for repair, so that one's done pretty good for us.
Right, gotcha. Now with, I know Ghost has played with the PK380. Let's talk about that one, I guess, for a little bit. Kind of y'all's, everybody kind of says that's y'all's answer to the Smith & Wesson EZ, but y'all had that one before Smith & Wesson had the EZ, so they copied you, right?
That gun's probably, I think, 13 years old or something like that.
Right.
It's been out for a while. It's due for a re-up.
Right.
We sell the mess out of those things just because of that same reason why Smith did the EZ. You know, it's a super easy to rack slide. It has a kind of a full-size grip, so recoil is just non-existent on it. It's a great gun for concealed carry. I think my mom owns like 3 of them. She loves them.
Wow.
Just because they're so easy to shoot and they're fun. It's a great little concealed carry gun. It was modeled after the, you know, when it was made to be like a polymer version of the PPK almost, if you notice the way it's designed with the slide mounted safety.
Mm-hmm.
And then the PK380, but it does have the paddle magazine release. The gun's fully ambidextrous for right or left handed shooters, and
nice.
It's a great option if you're getting into concealed carry.
Yeah, now the and color availability. Quite a few color available in that particular pistol?
About anything you could think of. I mean, purple, nice. Angel print, you know, black, stainless. There's all kinds of different versions and exclusives that we did with that gun. Like I said, it's been out so long that people's tried about everything with it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's... I don't know. It's weird how you have something like that. Have y'all consistently sold that PK380?
Yeah, it was one of those guns, too, when I got hired at Walther. I was like, why do we still have this? It's so old, you know? But then you go around to shops, and shops just sell them so much.
Right.
I mean, you move a lot of them that you're like, all right.
Has maybe the EZ and some of those maybe sparked additional interest, you think? Would that be part of it?
I don't know. Our numbers have kind of consistently stayed pretty level with PK380. And, you know, we did the CCP 9mm, which is kind of, I would say, cannibalized the PK380 a little bit because you got the 9mm capabilities, but you still got the easy rack slide, the light recoil out of it. So the CCP was kind of a game changer a few years back for us.
Gotcha. Now, the elephant in the room, the PPK, of course.
Yeah.
It seems like every time I post or type the word Walther in anything, somebody's going to comment and say, PPK, PPKS, PPK, PPKS.
It is actually shipping. So we've been shipping the last probably 4 weeks. We've actually been shipping them out there. So,
yeah.
There's a couple up on GunBroker. So the first run that we shipped out was for our dealers that bought stocking dealer packages.
Okay.
With
them. Right.
So if they were a Walther stocking dealer program, we had PPKS. Stainless ones with walnut grips set aside. Uh-oh. And if you got the stocking dealer program, you were shipped a PPKS, one of these, and they were just a special edition one.
Right.
So those have been shipping out to dealers, and we just started shipping the PPKS stainless with the standard black grips too. So they're getting out there. It's just demand is so high, you're not going to see a whole lot of them because a lot of the shops took a lot of pre-orders on those things. So they're not even really hitting the shelves. They're really coming into gun stores and going right back out the door, so.
Right. And, you know, what's interesting about it is with the amount of attention that the bring back on the PPK seems to be getting, it doesn't seem like it's affecting the other models, the PPQ, you know, the steel frame. That's where it seems like y'all are firing on all cylinders there, which is good.
Yeah, it's doing good, and we're getting the diversity in our customers that, you know, a brand needs. We've got, you know, a great amount of, you know, of youth getting into it with the PPQ and PPS series. You've got the higher end, you know, professionals and competitive guys getting after that new steel frame. You've got the classic gun collectors and kind of high end stuff with the PPK, PPKSs. So we hit a lot of different markets, and it's really, you know, it's been taking fire. So we're excited for that.
Right. Now with the PPQ, is there, are you seeing any interest for people to, you know, daily carry something like the PPK?
For the PPK? Yeah, you still get quite a bit of people that just, you know, they love that gun. So, and it's a great concealed carry option. And me, personally, I'm a more modern gun guy, so
right.
I like I like PPQ for my daily carry. But PPK, it's just a classic, you know. Like, that's what, I mean, I feel like every gun safe should probably have a PPK in it, you know, if you want to, you know, dress nice and go out or just, you know, pretend to be a secret agent, you know, that's the gun you want. But it gives so much appeal, you know. It's a very high-end classic kind of a gun that really appeals to both females and males. It's considered a gentleman's gun, but, you know, and carried by a lot of guys, but women seem to love that gun too, just because how nice it is. You know, there's a lot of attention to detail in that gun.
Right. It's just always been a real sexy design.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's kind of how you explain it.
Not many guns that stand the test of time, you know, and you look at the gun being, you know, over 80 years old, and not really many changes other than maybe a little extended beaver tail there to save your hand.
Right.
That gun's survived it, and it still is going. I mean, it's one of our most requested guns. Mm-hmm. I mean, that long. And you think of other guns that have lasted that long. You got the 1911, but that's not particular to one brand, really. You know, you got a lot of different makers of that, and so it's pretty cool to see the PPK and just its influence in pop culture and law enforcement and everything.
Right. Now, what was the gap in production on the PPK? Do you know?
Yeah, so, you know, we had an import. We didn't have U.S. facilities all the way up till about 2012, And our lab, we had importers in the United States that would, you know, import in a product from Germany. Mm-hmm. And so the last one was Smith & Wesson. So you'll see the Smith & Wesson era PPKs that they produced here in the States for us. But when we built our own facilities here in the U.S. in 2012, you know, that partnership ended. So we had to go through getting all the engineering and product development and sourcing and, you know, all the logistics and paperwork from, you know, ATF and the German side of it to get it all ready to be produced, made, and shipped here in the United States. So it took a while, a little longer than we wanted it to be. But we learned a lot from it and gave us time to perfect what we were doing. So you're seeing a lot higher quality out of the PPKS and PPKs that are made here at the Fort Smith factory. Probably the best quality since the original design over in Germany. So, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now the PPK also available in 22. We were talking about 22 earlier.
Yeah, that one's got the, forgot about that one. Sorry, the PPKS 22.
Is that the same? Has that one been around all this time, or was that one that came back as well?
No, that one's been around okay. The entire time. Because it was almost like a different model, so that one's being completely made in Germany and shipped over here.
Okay.
So.
Because I got a buddy that had picked up one of those. Actually, I think he won it at an NRA banquet.
Okay.
Probably 5 or 6 years ago now. So.
Yeah.
When we were talking about the PPK coming back, I'm like, well, he got one at an NRA banquet. So what's the deal with that? And then I found out later it was the 22. So.
Yeah.
Is there very much popularity with those, or has there been?
Yeah, I mean, it's got its deal, and a lot of people love that gun because it's threaded, too. So you
Especially suppressed, yeah, that would be
cool.
Yeah,
so, you know, we've got some really cool giveaways and special editions and stuff like that come with cans, and those really take hold.
Right. Now, we've also got to talk about something that's really unique that you, I mean, you guys, again, I say you're firing on all cylinders, which is awesome. But the try before you buy and the guarantee. We'll talk about that a little bit. That's a game changer.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we're sitting around here and, you know, we have all these like innovative products, and you start looking at the industry from a consumer perspective. I mean, we're all gun guys, right? Gun girls, like we all, you know, outside of work, that's our hobby also. So we're sitting around thinking like, you know, what's something that's kind of annoying that happens to you when you buy a gun, especially for your first gun? And we're talking, and one of the things was, is when you go into a gun store and you're looking, you really don't know a whole lot because you look at the shelf of pistols and it's just a sea of black guns.
Right.
And they're all pretty dang good guns nowadays. You know, reliability is pretty much there. Accuracy is pretty decent on everything across the board. And, you know, how do you tell the difference? And you're usually influenced pretty heavily by the guy behind the counter if you don't know, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not an expert in pistols or something. So he's going to push you towards what he prefers or what, you know, your friend prefers or your husband or your wife prefers or something
that. Or sometimes what they make the most on, which is
exactly
a little dangerous.
So you go through and you buy this gun and you pick it out, and what's the first thing they tell you? What's the sign that's hanging up in the store? It's all the sales are final, no returns on guns. And it's like that across the board at just about every gun shop across the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, so you buy this gun, you take it home, you shoot it, you don't like it, right? What do then? You take it back to the dealer, they offer you about half of what you paid for it. So either, you know, you lose money that way. Most people don't really know how to sell them privately, and even that you're going to lose money on too. So you're out money if you don't like it, you know, and it's just not an easy process. And then two, we looked at, you know, as we traveled around, and like I said before, you know, I was in the sales side of it before I got into marketing. I worked a lot of dealer and consumer events where we're out on the range, let people shoot the guns. And when people shot our PPQ series, it was just an instant love, you know. As soon as they fire, I mean, we'd be right next to all of our competitors, and they'd shoot ours, and they'd go around all day, shoot all the different other ones and things. And they'd come back and buy a PPQ just because it's so easy and so, you know, lovable. When you pick it up, it feels like it's made for you, and, you know, your shots are on target real easy. So we would win that battle. So we were like, we need to get our guns in people's hands. We just got to get people to try them because, you know, we're a pretty small company. For some, you know, we're 130 years old, but people still didn't know or trust Walther's brand here in the U.S. So we did this program called Shoot It, Love It, Buy It. And we did two parts to this. The first part of it being a 30-day money-back guarantee on the entire PPQ line. So it doesn't matter where you buy it. You can buy it any dealer across the United States. You can buy it online, get it transferred to you. Anything, any new PPQ from PPQ 22 all the way up to the steel frame qualifies for this. So if you buy it, take it home, shoot it. You can shoot 20,000 rounds through it if you want in 30 days. If you don't like it within that 30 days, you just get on shootitloveitbuy.com, click return a firearm, and go through the process to return it to us, and we issue you a refund for the entirety that you paid for the gun. So the gun plus tax plus shipping, you get your money back, which is a statement in this industry, just trying to show, like, we are that confident in the PPQ series. I don't know another gun that can do that, especially at its price range. So
right, and with the feedback, just to interrupt you for a second, and I'll let you go on the second part of this, but with the feedback I know I have gotten alone on the PPQ, I can imagine the feedback you guys are getting. So it was a pretty safe bet, I think.
Yeah, that's how we felt too. And I get a little too confident sometimes, but I was very confident in this. I was like, guys, we're not going to get much back, and really, we haven't already. It's been going
well.
A little
You're going to get some people. There's always that one person.
we always got people that comment, and they're like, hey, I'm just going to shoot, 10,000 rounds through it and go shoot a match. I'm just going to send it back. I'm like, well, might as well just wait for the 30 days because you get it for 30 days, so just do it then. we're old enough to it. We understand that there's going to be people that do that, but I'm like, hey, have at it, because I guarantee if you shoot that many rounds of the gun, you're going to end up falling in love with it.
So. Right. But that's interesting. I didn't realize that it didn't matter where you bought it, as long as it was a new purchase. So that's really nice.
Yeah. So the second part of it was something we wanted to do with our really good dealers across the United States, the people that's backed us over the past few years and really helped push Walther into a good direction, because we can't do anything without those dealers. So we created a second part to this that was specific to our dealers that are loyal to us, and it's the try before you buy kind of portion of it. So we did a system where you can go to shootitloveitbuyit.com and request a voucher number. And what you do is you go on there and you click your state where you live, and then pick one of the dealers that we have. We have, I think, close to 100 across, spread out across the entire United States. So you pick the dealer that's closest to you. You take this voucher number into that dealer, and you get to take home a PPQ model of your choice, home for 30 days without any money down. So you don't pay a dime. You get to take it home. If you like it, let us know, and we charge your card for what the dealer is selling that gun for. If you don't like it, you send it back to us, and we never charge your card.
So it's like a gun rental from home.
Yeah, you get to take it home, shoot as much as you want, see if you like it, with your pocketbook not being affected.
So, yeah, which is an awesome thing, because we had a range here that offered rentals. It's been closed down for years now, unfortunately. It was an hour away. I say here, I live in the sticks, of course, that. But it was an hour away, but it's been closed down for years. So there's a lot of people that don't have access, like you say, to be able to go in and try these different things, and it may look great and it may feel great in your hands, but then you may get it out on the range and that recoil impulse just, for whatever reason, be nerves in your hand or whatever, just something with that you didn't foresee without having to, being able to fire that handgun. So, it's really cool that you guys are making the efforts to actually get them in people's hands, let them actually to fire them, and then go from there. It's revolutionary. I love it.
Yeah, we want to be as innovative with how we sell our guns, to our consumers, as we are with our products. And I always tell people this. I was like, man, if you think it's a good deal, go try the program, because, if it's not successful, you're not going to see the rest of the industry follow either, which I'm pretty sure we'll probably get some followers on this one. We usually kind of the leaders, so.
Well, you could, or you could just take my word for it or Cody's word for it here and just go get it and be happy with it, because we're pretty sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, we're pretty confident that's going to happen. I know I've got the bug. I got probably too many PBQs of my own. So.
Right. Now, I do have one complaint about this 5-inch that I have.
Yeah.
And that's holster options. Good freaking Lord. I didn't realize when I had opted for that 5-inch. Of course, you know, here we can open carry. So I thought, well, I'll be able to open carry that, you know, a little bit here and there if I wanted to. So, you know, big honking, you know, piece of gut on your hip looks good. And, and you know, range toy, of course. You know, truck gun, home defense. It's like I can still use it for quite a few things and play around with it. But good Lord, holster options have proved difficult. I've got one, and it's a custom made Kydex.
Okay.
And then I've got Alien Gear that is sending me. I should have it here in a couple of weeks. It's going to send me a drop leg holster.
Nice.
That we talked about at SHOT Show, and he's like, I think if you have like a belt sander and a Dremel tool, he's like, I think you can adapt our 4-inch to where it'll fit. And I'm like, well, let's do that, because there's got to be other people in my boat looking for holsters, and you know, at least I could turn them on to how to at least modify something.
Yeah, and we've got, so if you go on our website and click on the model that you have through our website and click on accessories down underneath that model, we actually list all the different manufacturers that make holsters for that specific gun to try to make it as easy as possible.
Awesome.
So, yeah, for the 5-inch model, you know, Bladetech, Comptex, Fariland, DeSantis, you know, there's a bunch of different options that make the 5-inch, which it's a little bit more limited for the 5-inch compared to the 4-inch just because the numbers that are out there sales-wise, sure. So people are normally going to pick up the 4-inch to begin with. But
yeah.
And we did just start doing some of our own holsters. Like, we teamed up with Vail Solutions and did a new outside-the-waistband holster that, you know, you can use for IDPA or USPSA or just standard outside-the-waistband carry. We have that available on our website, and it'll fit the steel frame gun and the standard 5-inch PPQ series.
Nice. Now, as far as, we didn't talk about that, but as far as the steel frame, and I guess you just answered that question now, but just to verify, holsters, same holster?
So there's a little difference. So the steel frame,
okay.
If you buy a holster that's for the steel frame, it'll fit the rest of the PPQ line.
Uh-huh.
Because it changed a little bit because we extended that dust cover, that Picatinny rail, all the way out to the front to get some good weight distribution on the steel. So the holster's changed a little bit. So you can't just take your standard polymer frame 5-inch holster and drop a steel frame into it.
Gotcha.
With a little bit of modification. But like I said, now that we've got the steel frame, we're getting all the holster companies on board of, you know, just changing that design to account for that full-length Picatinny dust cover, because then it'll fit the entire PPQ line after that.
Everything, yeah. And that'd be pretty cool to have one holster, you know, if you own, you know, three or four of the PPQs and different kinds, from the P22 to the maybe a different caliber or whatever, have one holster for all of them would be kind of neat.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. Now, as far as you and the competition there, Team Walther and everything going well with that?
Yeah, Team Walther's been going good. We've, I believe Juan Six already won a couple matches. We've had couple of our guys placing pretty high up at the IDPA championships and matches like that with the new steel frame. So steel frame's been getting out there. We're carry optics legal for USPSA on that product, and almost there to the production numbers. So we'll have that gun up and ready for nationals and things like that. So we're excited to see how that gun starts competing. Seems to be a lot of buzz. Walther's growing quite a bit in the competitive scene with that steel frame launch, and then plus the contingency program. Where you can win money from us, you know, by placing at, you know, some of the larger matches.
Very cool. But
myself, I haven't got to make it out to a match yet. I got my first one coming up.
Okay.
Next month. They've been keeping me pretty busy around here, so.
Right.
But I keep up with it quite a bit, and I think got IDPA Arkansas State Championship coming up, you know, beginning of April, and then we go to NRA show, and then an Area 4 championship, which we're the main sponsor, USPSA sponsor for that match, will be down in the Houston area in the beginning of June. So,
okay.
And that's when mine kind of starts kicking off. Then it kind of stacks up multiple weekends in a row. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's wearing a couple different hats is bound to be hectic for sure.
Yeah, it's always. I like it, though. It keeps me busy. I'm not So
now with your pistol, with what you're shooting in competition, have you switched over to the steel frame, or are you planning on it, or are you like what you're shooting now?
Well, for one, if I could get a steel frame, I would be shooting one. But right. None of us, even here at the office, have been able to get one. We've been selling them that fast. We got to fill the demand out in the public before we treat ourselves to one around here. So,
right.
I'm still shooting polymer frame 5-inch BBQ, which I've shot for the last 4 or 5 years. So,
right.
I'm well over, on that platform on a 5-inch. I'm probably over 250,000 rounds.
Wow.
In my shooting career on that platform. So I like it. I don't have a problem, but when I do get to shoot some of the sample guns that we have here, I am a little bit faster with that steel frame on my split times and things like that, because of that recoil reduction, that gun just handles so well. So I'm really excited to get one. I'm prepared. I have my holsters and my belt rig and all the accessories for the gun. I just don't have the gun yet.
Right. You may have to. You may should have stayed over in Germany a little longer, and you could have built your own over there, maybe.
Yeah, I know, right?
Maybe that would work.
That thing would turn out like a mess if they got me on it.
Right. That Johnny Cash, one piece at a time. Just,
yeah, most definitely, man.
Well, it's been unique, if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it would have worked.
So with that, it looks like we're up against the time for this week. Cody, I appreciate you dropping back by with us, man. It's always fun. It's always a pleasure. Real quick, I guess, before we leave, if you got anything else you need to let us know about, by all means, go ahead. And then while you're at it, if people want to learn more about Walther, about the products, about the guarantees, the try before you buy, all of that good stuff, how do they find that information, get in contact with you guys, and get it done?
Yeah, so, that's the big thing for us right now, and I definitely tell everybody to just, go check it out or try it out. It's the Shoot, Love It, Buy It program. So you can just go to our website, and it's waltherarms.com, and you'll see a little tab at the top and the big call-outs for Shoot It, Love It, Buy It. So just click that, and we got videos, instructions, all different kinds of things to get you run through what exactly it is. Like I said, basically money-back guarantee on PPQs. So it's as simple as that. So definitely give it a try. Like I said, if you don't love it, you're not out any money, so you might as well try it. So,
right. And I'll give a couple of quick plugs right here before we end too, because Ghost Tactical out there, he's got the PPQ SC. So if you're looking at that, check out all of his stuff. And then Munitions Weapons Tactical, it's got the Q5 Match, I believe, is the one that he's got. So he's got some stuff out there. And of course, I've got the 5-inch PPQ. If you're interested in that and you want to talk more about it, well, then just get in touch with me. Again, Cody, appreciate you joining us, and we'll have you back on soon, hopefully, bud.
Yeah, I hope so, man. It's nice to talk to another Texan, so I enjoy it.
All right.
Thank you for joining in on another Firearm Friday. Don't forget to log on to clovertac.com. There you'll find our social media links, the blog, cool swag, and more. If you'd like to help support our projects and take advantage of some extra perks, you can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com/clovertac. Have a great weekend.